Podcast, episode 258, Balls Pit.
Oh, yeah.
Get an extra hour.
That's right. Now you can stay in my ball pit all night if you want.
Yeah, the furry universe version of the Balls Pit, you know, it's just you sit down and all these other people come by and whack you with their balls.
Put their balls on your face.
Yeah. All gargling. So I'm Tavern.
I'm Puzzwolf.
Shiva is not here at the moment. She'll be here a little bit later. And that's about it for this week. That's all of us. There's not no extra guests this time. We broke the streak. We only had two episodes with guests. Oh, no.
Well, we don't have to do it every week.
No, we don't. So, yeah, it has been a semi-eventful week.
Excuse me.
Very professional. So I went down to Houston this last weekend. Had a very interesting time amongst the Brones. did what I came there to do and survived the trip back. And
banged down Drew Libman in your mom's van.
Totally. and then basically helped a friend move.
Oh?
Moving from a house into an apartment and getting boxes, and when one's partner is pregnant and can't lift shit.
Yeah.
They need extra hands, especially when one is a teacher and teaching like two or three classes simultaneously. Huh.
But she should have the strength of two since she's eating for two, right? That's how it works?
Totally how it works, especially when women are like, oh, God, like 6.5, 7 months pregnant.
The fetus can use its wee hands to assist.
Just the problem getting the boxes up there. So.
You got all this extra room.
It's been a fairly, beyond like travel, and it wasn't like bad, no massive fires or anything at the con I attended. Mm-hmm. Nobody
ran off the road on this road trip for you, right?
Yeah.
We'll get to try that again when we go out to Rocky Mountain.
Yeah, that's like in a month.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I remember, Rocky Mountain, that's coming up. I didn't know exactly when it was, so I looked and I'm like, holy shit, it's like a month away. Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, like, reg on site, unless you can get me a table bitch badge.
Shit, I think they just closed their reg. I'll email them and see if there's anything I can do.
I'm sure they can add a table bitch badge, because that's what I'm going there to do.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, the way the table bitch badges work is you, for on this system, they use convention master, so your assistants register, and then a dealer goes in and links them to your registration.
Well, worst case, we'll figure it out, and I have to reg on site. Oh, no.
Yeah, it won't be a big deal. We'll have Zia's help also.
Oh, okay, so cool.
It'll be you, me, and Zia sharing a room and working the table. So
cool. I mean, I haven't been to Rocky Mountain Con yet, Rocky Mountain Fur Con yet, and wanted to. Ain't been to Colorado in a long time.
I wonder how the legal weed will agree with your asthma.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I figured if anything, I would go with the edibles.
Apparently, it's either I guess if we were going to partake, we would have to, because it's either Denver or Washington, but one of the states basically you're not allowed to smoke in any hotels, or public places, and there isn't like a hookah bar for weed or anything like that. So I think I actually talked about this on the show before. So
if we were we'd
have to do it as an edible, which, you know, I'm fat. I like brownies.
Oh, God. You know, if there's a Taco Bell, or not a Taco Bell, fuck, Jack in the Box anywhere near that hotel, the 9 p.m. munchie packs that they've been putting out there, it's like a burger, a big-ass order of tots, and a taco, and a big old drink.
Really?
Yeah, it's like only for sale after 9 p.m. at night. And it's like, this is stoner chow.
Oh, my God. That's funny. they rolled this out in Seattle and Denver.
And it worked out really well. Turns out.
I mean, I kind of joke, like, I'm not a drug guy. I'm like, but I don't have a moral problem with it. So, I mean, I might give it a shot just to see what it's like, you know?
We'll find out. We'll see how it goes.
Hopefully I'm not deathly allergic to it. I swell up like a balloon.
He injected too many marijuanas. He injected two marijuanas. Now he's gay.
I love that bit. I tried marijuana once. Now I'm gay.
And then there's that other one where it's like the son with a needle. The son being held by his mother and he has a needle next to him. My son injected too many marijuanas and...
Oh, my God.
Like, that would not work very well. But it's a stupid faux PSA.
Yeah.
You know, don't let your kid inject marijuanas. Tell them about Jesus.
God.
But, yeah, that's what I did. I mean, was in Houston. It was hot as shit.
Mm.
But it was a pretty fun weekend all told.
Good, good.
And
you going to talk about the actual con you went to?
Fiesta Equestria.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were you were dancing around the issue.
No. I mentioned it last week on the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was like, yeah, we're going to Fiesta Equestria. And I just, it was fun.
Went to Equestrical Con.
Yeah, the Equestricals. And, man, the horse costumes, man. Oh, there's a...
I saw you tweet some pictures of some of the cosplay.
Yeah, so...
Fursuiting. Oh, I mean costumers.
No, it's a fucking fursuit. So everybody's seen the Japanese fursuits. They can generally make fursuits that are way fucking cuter than American ones.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so this extends also to...
Ponies?
Pony fursuits. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people like Slivercar, but they make pony fursuits, and they're cool and cute and whatever. But this is like stylized anthro cute with a massive... anime eyes and the hips and all that fun stuff.
Hmm.
And so there's a Luna, there's a Celestia, and there's a Rarity. There's also an Apple Bloom and a Fluttershy. And so
quite a few.
The Rarity one was apparently at Anthrocon as well.
Oh.
So like
I saw Rarity in the fursuit parade.
Yeah. Japan PonyCon apparently had the money to send some of their people across the fucking world. Because the Rarity was at Anthrocon and Fiesta Equestria,
mm-hmm.
and the Celestia and Luna were at Everfree Northwest.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think something else. So it's like they saved up their money and came over here and was like, check out our superior fursuit creation abilities.
And they even split their efforts to be at AC and Everfree at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
And they've got... There's a brony. Unsurprisingly, there's a community that likes cute, stylized female characters that follow into various particular archetypes that are very popular in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And these ones just happen to be small cartoon horses as opposed to small anime girls.
Ah. So they're really into the Falcon over there, you're saying. Okay.
No, the.
Apple blooms a new hotness. But here she'll be blooming soon.
Pony falls into very,
mm-hmm.
you know, it follows the magical girl, you know,
right.
the classic types of people.
Yeah, it was the GCC was talking about ponies as a magical girl show.
Yeah, and so you should go listen to the GCC. I forget what the episode's titled, but they discuss, it's basically titled like My Little Pony is a Magical Girl Show or something like that.
Yeah.
Look that up, and they have a really good discussion where they're basically like, yeah. So let me tell you about this show, and it features this nerdy girl who's sent by the queen of her country to go make some friends. There's a shy yellow one. There's an industrious, hard-working orange one. And they go through all the lists. And, oh, by the way, this is fucking Smile Precure, which is a Japanese anime series from, like, 2008.
Yeah.
And it's like, these are just character types that are very common.
You tricked me! This isn't party!
No hooves, would not hug.
0 of 10.
Yeah. But yeah, the Japanese can make really, really good suits. There's some, you know, there's some solid cosplay there.
Yeah.
Good Celestia. There was some, like, Gandalf-looking dude with a legit beard.
Oh, did Star Swirl.
He did Star Swirl, the legitimately bearded.
Were there any truly horrible costumes or cosplays?
Not really. There was a dude that was cosplaying Pinky that was very much a dude.
Uh-huh.
Except he was always cosplaying it, but he had, like, stubble. It may have been intentional. I don't know.
Try harder.
Well, I don't know. Whatever floats your boat. There was a Flufflepuff.
Oh, yeah. I saw the Flufflepuff
that in Chrysalis. That was super cute. Yeah.
OTP.
I will say that the furry musician community, for what it's worth, is probably, like, not a tenth of as dramatic as the pony community can be.
Yeah.
Just dealing with those guys. There's some really good folks in there, and there's just, you know, people who are about as dramatic as Kanye. Pull the same sort of stunts.
Mm-hmm.
So, for what it's worth, my experiences at the con were very good.
Got a text.
And, yeah, I did.
Is that Shiva?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Mom going, how are you?
I'm recording my dirty podcast, Mom. Mom, I'm in my own basement.
I don't have a basement. I have an office.
Oh, yeah. So do I. I have an office and a production room. But no basement. No.
Basements don't work in Texas.
Nope. But we have an attic that we can't put anything in because it is full of dismembered Flufflepuffs.
Oh, well. They just bud. I mean, it's not like they're actual they're like mushrooms.
There's probably raccoons nesting.
Yep.
In the insulation, just like in that Geico commercial.
Yep. There's probably raccoons nesting inside Flufflepuff, as far as anybody knows.
Just
like walking around, raccoon pops its head out.
It really is crazy, though. You go in our attic, and it's. I don't think they had any rhyme or reason when they laid down the insulation. You go up there, there was a little patch, not a path, a little patch of wood, and then it's fucking pink everywhere. Like, you can't even see the beams. That's just completely covered with pink.
Huh. Well, I mean, it's good that they put a shit ton of insulation in there, but it probably makes it a hell to try to get across if you have to go up there for some reason.
Yeah, luckily we don't really do that. Like, the air conditioner unit's on the other direction. Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason that it's so fucked up is that we have that big vaulted ceiling in the living room.
Yeah.
So that whole side of the attic is basically at this steep angle. So you couldn't really walk over that area even if you tried. You know, you'd go right through the living room ceiling. So they were just, I guess, whoever laid that out was just like, fuck it, we're going to put insulation everywhere.
It's like, I've got all this foam and it's going here.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's not asbestos, because that would kind of suck.
Yeah.
It was built like 30-odd years ago, so.
So, yeah, that was my massive, venture driving. And it's really funny, because when you're talking to people from Canada, the concept, the fact that you drove like 280 miles or whatever from Carrollton to Houston,
uh-huh.
west side of Houston, just mind-blowing. You drove how many kilometers? Something like 480 or something like that.
Why would Canada's a big country, though? Why would they?
But they don't drive. Canada, you don't.
Because you've got that big wilderness in the middle.
And Canada is basically like Vancouver, Edmonton, you know, Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like basically three or four big-ish cities, and then.
But not Calgary, because fuck Calgary.
Calgary, sure.
That's where the Unfurled guys are. That's okay.
I don't know all my Canadian cities, but they're like, we live in Vancouver. Why would we go anywhere else? You know?
Huh, interesting.
And so it's like, yeah, I drove this massive distance, and they're just like,
what? Well, I was talking to.
It's like, we have cars. We have decent highways. We'd like to drive.
Like, I talked to a couple folks overseas, like Kaki and Foxmore. And I mentioned how far I was driving to Anthrocon. And I think Fox was like, I couldn't drive that far, like, in the country. You know, you'd basically traverse the UK from one end to the other in the distance it took me to get to Anthrocon from here.
That's like, I don't know what, I'm getting text messages, but they're not actually, like...
Sorry, for those that may be hearing the buzzing sound of the phone, we have Saverin's phone on not mute because Shiva's going to text us when she's done with what she's doing.
Well, it is on vibrate, because there's only, you can either mute it or you can vibrate.
Yeah, no.
But we're waiting on Shiva to text us so we can we can pause and let her in so she can join us for the show. But yeah, it was funny because someone was telling me, like, oh, hey, I've been hearing rumblings. Is someone going to try to start up a con in El Paso?
Oh, wait. Yeah, you told me about this a while back. And
I was like, yeah, let me tell you a thing. It is closer for us to drive to St. Louis than it is for us to drive to El Paso.
Yeah. Actually, because they were concerned, oh, no, there's going to be another Pony Con. Is that going to fuck up Nightmare Nights? And it's like...
No,
not really. It's pretty fucking far away.
Yeah, it's...
In fact, people in New Mexico are more likely to go to a con in El Paso than we are.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not a problem. It was just funny. Cause, yeah, the distances involved in Texas blow people's minds.
Yeah.
It's like the most they drive is like, we may go down to Seattle, and that's... Like,
yeah.
150 miles, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll drive that in a fucking day.
Yeah. It's like a 12 or 14-hour drive to Denver. So we'll have that.
Yeah, ain't too bad. Just go up to, what, OKC to 40 all the way to Denver?
No. If you take 40, you have to go up to Kansas. You have to go up to, I think, Wichita. And that's where 40 connects.
Thought there was a freeway through OKC.
There's a small state highway system. It doesn't go through OKC, but it goes up. I think it branches off of Denton or something like that.
Okay.
I've only driven there to Denver once. I've driven other parts of Colorado since. But, yeah, like Tieran's gone to RMFC the last couple times, so it's been a while.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Last time Buck and I went...
It goes through OKC, then to Amarillo, and then to Albuquerque, which is not, in fact, where we want to go.
Yeah, so, like, when Buck and I went, I was like, it says that it's, like, a little further mileage-wise, but it's faster to go all the way up to Wichita and take a left, because you're on interstate the whole time. You take 35 all the way up, and then you... Take, I think, 40 or something
it's
else.
70.
70 all the way over.
Yeah, it's actually a little bit... It's actually further on the top third of the state.
Yeah.
You have to drive pretty far past
We might do the other way this time. The other way involves more state highways in Texas. It kind of goes up at an angle instead of straight up and over. So we'll see if that's faster this time.
You know? We'll have our adventure.
Yeah, I'm sure Google will tell us which way is preferable when we get to that, based on what is being under construction this time. Because seriously, I hit like six construction zones and a couple of wrecks on the way to Anthrocon. You know, it was just like so much construction.
And while there are plenty of routes there, it's still...
It's kind of limited, though. There was only like two, and majority of them overlapped. Like 85%. So,
yeah.
Not much else going on in my life lately. Been working on getting out a lot of the pre-orders, which any pre-orders that are shipped now are actually going out early because I kind of said, you know, I want to get these all done by the end of the month. So, and I've run into it, and it's a good problem to have. There's a couple of titles that we've just sold so many of that. The initial batch that I ordered is already gone, so I've had to reorder several things. So, waiting for stock to arrive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 13 hours, 22 minutes, that's about right. Yeah, like 14 with stopping to...
Yeah, and what's funny, the route that goes at an angle up through Amarillo and then north is, like, 90 miles shorter, and yet it takes almost the same amount of time.
Yeah.
But
because of the lower speed limits on the state highways. So I'm off that Thursday, so what we might do is leave Wednesday night, drive 4 hours or so on Wednesday night, and then drive the rest of the way on Thursday.
That sounds good. We'll figure it out. I mean, it's not that far out at this point, and that's the next con we're both going to.
Yep. And SoFulf's not going this year.
So you're
going
to carry their stuff?
So I'm going to carry their stuff. And because we're talking about a lot of stuff between our stuff and their stuff, so I'll end up carrying probably like a few copies of a lot of titles so that I have a wide range. So hopefully people are looking for something in particular. You know, I'll have it. Try to stuff as much as possible into my car. What do you...
Lemon gushers, not even once. It's an image of somebody's face, like, shrunk down really, really small on their head.
Yeah.
So there's little bitty eyes, little bitty mouth. That's everything else.
And that other picture of you know who made his head huge.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that account tweet in a while.
Yep. So we might as well...
Let me go ahead and read this this first Tumblr question, because that will lead us into another discussion.
Yes.
Anonymous asked a question. What would the Notcasters do for an hour in the ball pit? I'd piss in Saverin's mouth, because I wouldn't want to get piss in the ball pit.
Thanks.
No problem. You see, I'm considerate. Then I pull your ears. That's the flesh lever.
So, DashCon...
DashCon, yes, not related to My Little Pony at all. Which
it is referring to the Tumblr dashboard.
Yes.
But there are people, because of the disaster, trying to blame it on the bronies. There's also people trying to blame it on 4chan when Tumblr did this entirely to themselves.
Oh, God. Yeah, it wasn't just people trying to blame it on 4chan. It was actually the people that were at the con. And maybe some, I don't know if the organizers did it, but it was like... Some apologists on Tumblr were saying, you guys are all wrong. It was all 4chan's fault.
They hacked the emails and hacked our bank accounts. And
our ball pit. 4chan hacked our ball pit.
So DashCon was a 2 or 3 day, I think it was a 2 day, convention for...
No, it was 3 days, I think.
It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Was a... multi-day fan convention run by and for people from Tumblr. And, of yes. course, this is where you get quotation marks around people.
God.
So there was things like, you know, there had your Supernatural, your Doctor Who, your Sherlock, panels on things like shipping and then, like, ethical veganism and stuff like that. They had this... They had a very wide slate of panels,
mm-hmm.
but they were all run by people who probably shouldn't be running panels.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was, like, fist fights over shipping. So, like, no, your OTP is wrong.
That's not punch. OTP!
So, yeah. And this was a convention that had innumerable problems.
Mm.
They... convinced Welcome to Night Vale to come in. They took a break off their touring schedule.
Which was overseas. They flew from overseas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
No, that,
so Welcome to Night Vale was a Europe, pretty cool, like, radio play podcast.
Right.
I like it. I'm really behind, but it's neat to listen to. They were going to pay them to come in, stay, and do a show. They showed up, didn't get their money. They walked.
Mm-hmm. Was also a female Sherlock Holmes fan podcast. I can't remember what it was called.
221 Babe, I think it was like Baker Street Babes.
I think it was. Yeah, and they did their show Friday night, which went just fine. And then it was after that that the oh my god, we need $17,000 or the hotel will kick us all out happened. So their panel went just fine, but then they left the next day when shit started hitting the fan.
They were like, yo, it's been real. Bye.
I think they might have been the ones that were It was either them or somebody else, but we're locked out of our hotel rooms.
Yeah, they got the comp room suddenly not being comped.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually did put out a massive, like, really big, okay, so here's what fucking happened. Take it with a salt lick here. But the biggest thing was, the $17,000 thing, they put out a plea for help that, oh my God, if we don't have $17,000 before blah, we're going to get kicked out.
10 p.m. Friday.
And somehow, the Tumblrites raised that money.
Right.
And people were very skeptical and like, wait a minute, you know, this chain requires full payment 5 days in advance. What's the deal?
Dude, it's going to take days for PayPal to transfer it to a bank account anyway.
Especially on a weekend. So this is their statement in terms of where the $17,000.
Mm-hmm.
With events like ours, it's not entirely common for there to be an outstanding balance at the time of the event. Yeah. Most of our funds should have come in throughout the weekend. Our at-the-door sales absolutely deflated after the Friday evening and Saturday afternoon debacles. And with good reason. As you'll see below, we had already paid in $21,000 prior to arrival. Only about $7,000 was money still due at the venue itself, and $10,000 was for at-event services, such as electricity, which wasn't even quoted to us until a day or two prior to Thursday night's early registration. Okay. Should have we been more prepared? Absolutely. Looked into the contract, and it came to light that the net 30 terms that were described by a member of the DashCon upper management weren't correct. So they didn't look at their fucking contract.
Hmm.
Whether misinformation was deliberate or accidental, we can't say for sure. We can only say we've taken measures to remove the person who handled that situation from our company.
So some unnamed person that we've gotten rid of fucked up and didn't read the contract.
Yes. Additionally, it was suggested that the Renaissance Schomburg had denigrated our attendees, saying that they didn't like the type of clientele the event brought in. This has been proven 100% untrue. When two of the con heads were told by a third that such a thing had been said, or otherwise insinuated, it wasn't wholly unbelievable, as it happened to so many other events in the past. And in our state of panic, we believe what we were told. They're passing it along to our attendees.
Hmm.
Oh no, I heard a thing from somebody who heard somebody else say it. I better tell our attendees that the hotel doesn't like them. Let's see. DashCon's sincerest apologies go out to everyone who was hurt by this statement, including our attendees, vendors, staff members, and everyone at both the Renaissance Schomburg and their parent company, the Marriott International. We have contacted the Renaissance Schomburg since the close of our event, apologized for this misinformation, and taken the appropriate measures to repair our business relationship, implying they're going to let you back. DashCon is eternally grateful to hotel staff and management who worked closely and endlessly with us over the course of the weekend, sometimes into the wee hours of the morning, for their overwhelming kindness prior to, during, and after the convention. As for what we do to the $17,000 raised in under an hour, which we like to go on record saying absolutely touches and astounds us, a picture's worth 1,000 words. While the hotel was not at liberty to release our accounting records, we have every right to do so. Please note both the $21,000 paid prior to arrival. Then this is at their website, dashcon.org. It actually redirects to a Tumblr. Wait,
$38,000 in total was what they paid to the hotel? 21 before and 17 raised that night?
No, 28. So earlier they mentioned they still owed $7,000 at the start of convention, and the extra 10 was to cover, I don't know why this would cost 10,000, electricity, etc.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, presumably they did pay out $38,000 to a hotel.
That is a fuckload of money Well, they had a massive space. They had way more space than they actually needed. Well,
they projected like 5,000 to 7,000.
And they got like
500 to 1,000.
500 to 1,000, yeah.
So basically,
they were only off by one decimal point.
Basically, the separate $1,000 charge is a daily spending limit to the PayPal debit card, which was used to immediately access funds. So basically, these guys came in, didn't look at their contract, accepted whatever was set in front of them, and planned their budget around an attendee level that you would never hit in year one unless you're already a well-established event like PAX. Because like PAX South, we mentioned last week that
And Shiva and Tiran and Sero and Siam.
Yeah, and all them and some other people, Noxie, Glar, and a couple other folks, were all going to go to PAX South.
Right.
But that's because it's fucking PAX. PAX Prime sells their $120,000 tickets in this last year. It was like 6 hours.
Wow.
And so
I didn't realize it was that big. Like that's funny. Like almost the size of Comic Con.
Yeah.
Wow.
And PAX South, I think, is going to be like 30,000.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, the reason I know that there is a Rooster Teeth Expo.
Yeah.
Which is held in that same space in San Antonio, and it holds 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that PAX South is going to have 30,000 people year one, which isn't surprising.
Yeah.
So basically what happened is you had a bunch of actual children, like there are people under 18 working on the con staff in a like managerial slash executive role.
Mm-hmm.
The staff of the convention basically didn't know what the fuck they were doing and have turned themselves into like, hey, the bronies don't have to feel too bad about Unicon. Except for the fact that, you know,
Unicon is now only the second worst con disaster on record.
There was FedCon. It happened here in Dallas, too.
That's true.
That was the Star Trek convention that got shut down mid-Saturday.
Yep. I told that story on the cast before.
Yep. So, I mean, it's not the absolute worst thing, but the thing is, with Tumblr, it's a god-awful platform for, you know, it's there for pictures. It's not there for anything else that was designed to be like a picture-sharing thing.
It's there for sending us anonymous questions at notcast.tumblr.com.
That's true. But, you know, once a story gets out there and it spreads and spreads and spreads, it doesn't matter if you edit it later on. Once it's spread, it's spread. Mm-hmm. And people can add on what they think. And one comment said by one person is not necessarily going to be seen by anybody else unless the people that see it follow that person that made the comment.
Yeah, it's a really terrible commenting system.
It's like the worst, universe's worst game of telephone.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's the thing. It's like I hate trying to read a blog on Tumblr because, like, if it's a blog that's supposed to inspire feedback and a conversation, it's just not going to work.
No, yeah, because the only way to respond to that is this a massive reblog chain back and forth.
Right.
So, like, the same thing appears 6 or 7 times on a single dashboard.
Yeah, you have to reblog. So if somebody makes a just grossly inaccurate statement, then you have to reblog the entire shit show to your own blog to reply to it. And not everyone's going to even see your reply because they reblogged it from some other person's that you weren't chained into. It's good for looking at shit and faving shit and sharing it with your friends. It's not good for a conversation or an argument. Twitter's not good for an argument either. You really need a blog, like, you know, you need, like, the CNN comment section and stuff. That's where, like, people should really argue about shit, and then everyone else could ignore it.
But, yeah, but the thing is, with Tumblr as a platform, the moment a narrative is created and spread out there, there's no way to stop it or control it.
Yeah.
So, you know, people immediately were like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing ever. There's people that are, oh, my God, this is the best thing. Look at us. We raised $17,000. Let's stand around and do salutes and sing We Are the Champions.
Oh, God.
And
it is so cringe-inducing that they did the Hunger Games salute and sang We Are the Champions. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. It was a disaster, but it could have been a lot worse. But the thing is, its perception as a disaster is so much worse.
Yeah.
Because Tumblr jumped on that shit and was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. Then there's people trying to blame it on 4chan.
And I will say, at least Unicon, when money was raised for Unicon, it went to get people home that were stranded, pay the voice actors that had come down there, and it didn't go to, like, to just pay off the organization or the hotel or something like that. And I'm like, they raised 17 grand in an hour to pay for such a badly managed convention. It just seems like such a massive waste of money. And I hate to say it, but all I can think is white people.
Yeah.
You know, just that could have been donated to a library. It could have been donated to a homeless shelter. Any number of charities more worthy than a bunch of fucking morons trying to hold a convention that they were not qualified to hold. And I'm just like, my God, what a waste.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they're like, oh, no, we'll be back next year. No, you won't. You probably won't. The you set the narrative for your event. Anytime anybody brings up DashCon, they're going to think of the ball pit.
Yeah.
And the ball pit was like rent. This con, I guess they didn't have event insurance because I don't know about you guys, but our event insurance explicitly forbids ball pits and bounce houses.
Yeah.
Though probably not children's swimming pools filled with plastic balls.
Because that's what the ball pit was. It was an inflatable kids pool filled with plastic balls. And, a lot of our listeners probably already know this story from seeing it online. But basically, when Night Vale bailed, they wanted the compensations that they offered people that had paid extra to sit in the front rows of the Night Vale show was, well, we can't refund your money, but you can have an extra hour in the ball pit. Because I guess you had to pay to be in the ball pit or something? I don't
fucking know. Maybe they had a closing time.
So now an hour in the ball pit is becoming, it's already a meme. It's already on Know Your Meme.
Oh, yeah. And
it's like, whenever I fuck anything up, I'm just going to say, well, you can have an extra hour in the ball pit.
It was Baker Street Babes. That was the podcast.
Okay, Baker Street Babes.
And basically, this is, I'm still scrolling down here. And basically, there is a thing. It's like, well, what happened with Welcome to Night Vale? And then they're like, yeah, because it's said in our policies that there's going to be no refunds, we are going to put the fund in no refunds, and you don't get any money. For the people that paid extra.
Mm-hmm. So
it's like, after speaking to our legal counsel, we just advised we are unable to provide refunds on those seats. The decision was based on several of the DashCon's rules and policies, which can be found here. The pertinent rules are quoted below. 21, DashCon will not refund badges or Welcome to Night Vale seats for any reason. And 25, schedule subject to change any time, even during the convention. Last line of the rules policies page. DashCon reserves the right to change these rules at any time, and attendees are responsible for their own individual knowledge of the convention rules. So basically, like, yeah, we changed stuff midstream, and they didn't come, but we don't have to pay to give you back your money because fuck you. Congratulations, guys. The bronies are no longer the kings of the bad convention. It is now Tumblr. The cesspool of the internet.
Yeah, that went about as well as what I would have expected it to. See, if it had been an official Tumblr event, it would have been corporate types from what Yahoo bought Tumblr, right? It would have been corporate types from Yahoo handling it and setting it up and everything. And then the only involvement the Tumblr community would have would be attending it and maybe running some of the panels.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an official Tumblr event. They actually tried to call it TumbleCon, and Tumblr was like, no.
No.
You can't put Tumblr in any of your advertising, basically. So that's why they called it DashCon. And there's a great image of Rainbow Dash in a ball pit that Pixel Kitties drew. Yeah, looking very unhappy.
There was another one, the Ask My Little Blobs, the Little Pony Blobs.
Oh, yeah, where they're all the ball, they're the balls in the ball pit. Yeah,
there's several of the blob ponies in the ball pit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the internet jumped all over it, obviously. You've probably sick of hearing about it, I'm sure, if you pay any attention to most art communities online. Because it was so ludicrous of an event.
Yeah.
So, I guess we might as well go on to the next email, because I think we've driven that into the ground. And
there's not much more to say about it, really. I mean, the internet's already pretty much said everything.
Yeah, if you really, really want to go into it, go to their website, dashcon.org, and look at their apology, assuming it's still there by the time this episode gets released.
I think I should register shitshow.org and just redirect it.
Yeah.
Somebody out there do that if shitshow.org isn't already taken.
So
do you want to read this?
Yes. I'm going to... Oh.
It's a bit of a novel.
Huh. Okay, well, let's get to this.
All right.
Subject: took me long enough. Mm. Greetings, casting otters.
My pop filter is slipping out of the way.
This is a long overdue email, but one I've never really had a question until now, so I've been putting it off. I wish I could say long-time listener, first-time writer, but actually sent an email a few years ago that was never answered. Either the server ate it, or I was so young and dumb my teenage problem was so bleh that y'all thought it was a troll or not just worth the kerfuffle and deleted it. I apologize if it ends up being a wall. I'll do my best to be brief. Well, if you wrote 2 years ago, and your age, as you state further down the email, is in fact correct, you were 17 at the time.
Yeah, so we probably didn't read it on air.
Yep. To start off, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all so much for your incredible podcast. Been listening on and off, playing catch up every couple of months that life would force me to take a break. For something like 4 years now, the show opened my eyes to an entire world that I had not known existed outside of my very sheltered/conservative upbringing by my former Soviet immigrant parents. Letting me listen on the complex lives and problems of all these different unique people from around the world and teaching me things everyone should know about what real life is like. Most importantly, Notcast is probably the single most important thing that helped me survive high school and the giant mess that turned your life into in that stage in your life. With many crises of identity, of the sexual, gendered, and spiritual variety, and weird relationships and crippling academic stress, and deaths of friends and acquaintances, and big decisions, and ass backwards, stuck in the USSR family, and the inevitable periods of depression and suicide scares, etc. You've heard it all before. Not only that, but you kept me company and entertained me through the good as well as the bad, and I not only grew accustomed to getting weird looks on the train directed at my muffled laughter, but also having my friends come to me for life and relationship advice, which I had mysteriously become an expert at giving. Winky face.
Cool.
I ended up coming out of the darkest period of my life as a new individual with valuable knowledge and vicariously gained experience. I am now catching up to the podcast while working at a real job after recently returning from a visit to my girlfriend of over a year who lives at the opposite end of the U.S., after finishing my first year of my dream college, to which I wore clothes that, for once, were not all black. Like many others, your show has changed my life and been a staple in it for many years. I've never had a problem in the last several years, and I've had so many, I would think, what would Notcast do? And the collective knowledge of Saverin, Fuzz, Shiva, in my head would go, yeah, see, the thing about that is... And somewhere along the line, Fuzz would make an obnoxious cock joke, and Shiva would laugh, and in the end, I'd have a solid piece of advice, and my problem would be solved. Which is why I never sent an email more than once in all this time. I've had a blast keeping up with the happenings in your lives, and I'm very sorry for all the hardship you faced. I was heartbroken through the various heartbreaking things that happened again and again. It happened to end again when catching up on months of missed episodes, things sometimes went from bad to worse in a matter of hours. Mm. But I'm very happy that y'all are such a strong group of individuals that always come out in one piece and go on to achieve great things and improve your situations in life. Smiley face. Question time. A little bit of background. At the end of my senior year of high school, I met this girl online. We hit it off, and infatuation set in pretty quick. We stayed in touch and talked constantly. Within a few weeks, we were a couple and had strong feelings for each other and talked on the phone and had Skype dates and whatnot. A few months later, I flew 2,400 miles to see her, and she was even better in person. It's almost a year since I left for that first trip, and then almost a year, we've flown back and forth a bit more and have spent something like a total of 8 weeks in each other's company. We love each other very much, and I feel like it's safe to say this LDR is working, and we're making the best of a weird situation. I had, like, these two giant paragraphs typed up about our age gap. She hit 16 in May, and I'm creeping on 19 in October, causing some issues that I attribute to immaturity, like her being very jealous and irrationally angry about insane things, and my fear of commitment and being locked down when I haven't even had a chance to really go around and experiment with meeting different kinds of people and experiencing what different relationships are like. But, of course, by the time I got to the end of it, I already knew what you'd say about it and resolved my issues with all that. I guess I'll move on to the actual question and type this email up to ask it and forgot until just now. Little TMI warning, I guess, but it's pretty tame for this show. So she is policing what I masturbate to. That's basically what it boils down to.
Oh, hell no.
She got mad yesterday about the fact that I, being a furry, am turned on by dog people fucking. And thus, say pretty pictures of dog people fucking, which turned me on. She said that she feels like a loser because I'm the only thing she ever really fantasizes about. I told her she's free to go get off to whatever she wants, because fantasy is fantasy and doesn't harm anyone. She immediately pulled out the I'm a fap to your dad card as a counterargument, and I admitted that, yeah, true, I guess family and friends are out of the question. But she complained that basically that basically rules out everyone but me, and that I should take that as a compliment. I'm not sure if she's mad that I enjoy the furry porn because it means I don't get turned on exclusively by her, because when I asked her to explain, she just retorted with, you don't need to go to sleep. Or no, yeah, she retorted with, don't you need to go to sleep? And then sort of settled down to cutesy stuff about how she admits to liking the thought of her being a kitten in both our fantasies. Not an actual kitten, of course. You'll know what she means. But it doesn't really help the situation. It sounded like an attempt at deflection. I don't really know what to say or do because she sounds like she's really offended that she's not good enough for something, despite me trying to explain that, yeah, I enjoy dog people fucking, but I love her above all. It's really bothering me. I refrain from going in chat rooms and type fucking with other furries, even though it's something I used to do a lot because it's fun, but obviously can't anymore because I'm in this lovely relationship. But now I can't even look at drawings or fantasize about the stuff furries fantasize about? I don't want to betray her trust or hurt her feelings or whatever's going to happen if I masturbate to furry porn. But it's not exactly something I just want to give up so easily, considering it's such an innocent thing to me. She's not interested in it, aside from some pet play when we're together, 2,400 miles away from each other. 2,400 away from either of our homes. Like, there's some words missing in here. And I don't think I can afford to fly to the opposite coast every time either of us is in the mood for that. I need your help, Notcast. What the heck do I do? This is probably the only thing that's ever happened to me that I haven't had heard addressed on the show. Who's in the right? What do I say to her? She also expressed that she thinks I'm going to leave her for a furry in the middle of last night's conversation about it. I thought that might be good to mention, too. Should I talk this up to teenager silliness and just wait it out? Not that I expect her to change into a better person and mold her as she grows up or something. I'm neither an idiot nor a dick. Please help.
Yeah, you're basically right. It's not just teenager silliness. It's just silliness in general. Because there's a lot of adults that have this point of view as well. And it's kind of fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something you need to basically... Damn, my voice sounds weird. I think I moved my mic around or something.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. I guess just explain to her that, you know, guys in particular are going to masturbate.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And it doesn't lessen your relationship or lessen your feelings for her or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not something she can police. Sorry.
Yeah, she doesn't have the right to do that. And, you know, because the obvious retort is like, well, you know, she obviously can't send you pictures of her to masturbate to because that would be child pornography and you'd go to jail. So don't do that. You know, she's a kid. She's 16. She's got 9 years left to cook. You know, you've got a few years left to go yourself. And, you know, tying yourself down to a relationship like this long distance where she's trying to tell you what you can fap to.
Yeah.
That's not going to be healthy in the long term if she thinks she can control you like that. I mean, just saying, if Panther tried to police what I fap to, well, I don't know if that would go too well. But we're adults and we don't give a shit.
Right.
Because, you know, reasons.
And a lot of furries have a difference of opinion on this, but my personal feeling is that type fucking isn't cheating. It's type fucking. It's on the internet. It's just RP. I mean, I guess people in closed relationships sometimes consider that to be cheating. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, your situation may be different, of course.
Well, I mean, also, it's one of those things that you probably, once you're in a relationship settled and having, you know, your partner right there, you don't really need the sexual, you know, well, I got to get this play going, this RP going, because I'm not getting any, because I can just get it local.
Support your local sex supplier.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's just it's just something that I used to do a lot of when I was 16 to 25, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't do because I'm very settled in my relationship and don't feel the need to do that.
Right.
But, you know, you're young, dumb, full of cum. Congratulations. There you are. And, you know, you're going to fap. And you're just going to have to, like, say, look, this is not something that I'm comfortable with you policing. Because, yeah, you're right. You know, you're not going to fly 2,400 miles away to...
Every time you pop a boner.
Yeah, that'd be, you know, you pop a boner, you're like, all right, got to keep this going for the 8-hour flight. Or probably 4-hour flight.
That would lead to so many awkward TSA encounters.
Sorry, I'm going to my girlfriend. She's in California. But, or are you packing heat? No, I'm packing something.
I'm going to need two seats. One for me and one for him.
So, basically, you're dealing with a kid. You're dealing with a 16-year-old. And it is immaturity. And if she really, really, really pushes the issue, you might just kind of need to let her cool off. Because you like her, but she's still a kid, and you're going to deal with this kind of immaturity, because that's what you are. When you're 16, you're immature, and you do stupid things like this. When you're 19, you'll still do stupid things. When you're 21, you'll do stupid things. When you're 31, you'll do stupid things. It's just different flavors of stupid things.
Yeah.
So, bonus round. This one's for Fuzz. I'm an artist and have this comic I'm working on. I really love to get published / printed / distributed by For Planet. I'm not really sure how that works. I took a look at the submission guidelines, but I feel like I'm not 100% sure on how it works. I would love an oral explanation. I have a finished product. I'm more comfortable taking I'm more comfortable taking my time and approaching this with a complete and almost complete work, not just an idea and an art sample. Can I just pop in and submit it? If it gets approved, it gets printed and sold at the next con you're dealing at? ? What's involved in the process? Is there anything I need to pay to get the production covered? Do I earn any money from it? What's the gist of the legal stuff involved? My legal name and nip on it? No, thank you, etc. I've been drawing all my life and I'm an art major now. I'm confident in my ability. My mom works in a printing business, so I get how the technical processes work. And I have the necessary skills to do formatting for print and things like Adobe InDesign and stuff. And I really love to make something lovely that people can hold in their hands, so I'm really considering the idea. I'd love to be more informed. Thanks in advance. Thank you for everything, Notcast crew. You're the fur.
Okay, so you don't pay anything to be published. We pay you. We pay out quarterly. We could pay either a check or send it to your PayPal. You don't have to have the complete thing submitted to finish to start talking about it. We've actually published books that are still being posted to the internet at the time, and which is actually cool because it helps drum up interest as time goes by. But yeah, I'd at least like to see a few pages of a comic to kind of, and some other samples to kind of judge your artistic ability and see where the comic's going. The more of it you have done, the better, to help me kind of judge it. As far as the legal stuff is involved, we don't take your copyright or anything like that. You keep all the rights. Basically, you're giving us the license to print and sell and distribute your work. And that's non-exclusive, and you can cancel it. So, you know, we can, yeah, if there's a problem and you want to get out of it, we can talk about it. If it hits it big and Disney decides to make a movie of it or something like that, we don't get all that money. We don't control any of that. You keep all your copyright and all that stuff. It might not be the next con we're at. It usually takes us a little while to get through our pile of submissions and stuff like that. But we'll usually work out. I mean, if you're going to be at a con, it'd be cool to debut it at the con you're going to be at, because it sometimes helps when the author or artist is there.
Sales.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever the next large convention is. You know, we've released new stuff at AC, FC, Midwest, Rainforest. We've had new stuff out of Fiesta, so, which is, I mean, we're not limited to just doing it at AC and FC.
Yeah.
So, you know, that can all be worked out at the time. But, yeah, that's handy. You know about Adobe InDesign and stuff. Basically, usually we take either TIFFs or PSDs, and then we do the layout in InDesign. If you have InDesign already, you know, then I can probably send you a template on that.
We'll save a step.
Yeah, I have a template file for our standard comic that's like a PNG, and I could send it as a PNG or TIFF or PSD, which I'm actually thinking just uploading those, the template file, and putting a link to it on our submission guidelines.
It'd probably save you some time.
Yeah, because like right now, whenever somebody asks for it, I basically go and hunt on my hard drive, you know, and I remember where they are now, but it'd be neat. It'd be a good idea to just put together two or three template pages in the most common sizes that we use, put it online, and that way any aspiring artists, like, they already have sort of a layout to work from. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be exact for everybody. I mean, we use a particular size because that's what our printer works with, but most things, especially in InDesign, most things will scale to a degree anyway, you know, using margins and everything, so...
Okay.
So that pretty much covers that. Oh, you asked about legal name. No, people are allowed to publish under a pseudonym.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how J.K. Rowling is publishing under, what's his name, Robert something. She's publishing these...
Two different books.
Noir books.
Yeah, under a different name.
Robert Galbraith, I think, is the name. And, of course, nobody was supposed to know that, but her lawyer's office fucked up and leaked the information. But... Point is, yeah, you can totally publish under a pseudonym. That's fine. I do need your legal information for tax purposes to report your income, but that doesn't actually go on the finished product of the book or anything. So
your name, blood type, address, social security number.
Yeah,
I put it on the inside cover because, you know.
Right, yeah. We'll put it right in the book there so that people can open up credit cards in your name and...
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Put your social security number and your mother's maiden name on the inside cover. Just stamp it on there.
You know, it's like find out, you know, you can list where you were born, your first pet's name, your mother's maiden name.
Your high school. Yeah.
So,
that's not a problem. I think that pretty much covers that.
Yep. So we're at 1 hour. We're going to stop and save, text Shiva again, figure she's going to join us or not tonight. Probably not. We'll be back.
And we're back. Hold on. Sit the phone there. After escaping from terrorists by building the Iron Man suit, Tony Stark faces some of his biggest challenges yet. Mandarin's evil plan for world domination and a pair of super horny babes. That's right. This week's item is the Iron Man Triple X.
Aw, yeah.
Two-disc set, 5 sex scenes, 101 minutes, plus 64 bonus minutes. I'll read a couple of the scenes here. Scene 1, Tony wakes up from his accident with an electromagnetic boner begging for a deep throating. Then Dr. Jensen mounts him on the operating table for some hot and heavy anal reverse cowgirl.
So he's like, you're having heart surgery. But you got a boner. Let's fix
both. We have to take care of this first. After escaping the terrorists, Tony lives up to his Playboy reputation with a smoking hot threesome. Skin Diamond sticks her hot ass up in the air for doggy with Tony while she munches on her gal pal, Jay-Z Berlin. Then Jay-Z calls a timeout to lick Tony's cock clean and spoon with him. Aw. The Mandarin tricks Pepper Potts into a tongue-wagging and spit-flying blowjob when he freezes time and space with his magic rings.
Oh, man, I'm like, what?
This shit's crazy.
Well, the Mandarin does have, like, magical fucking powers in the comics, but in the movie, he was just some schmuck.
Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve recommends Iron Man Triple X for comic book and parody fans, as well as couples that enjoy action-packed adult movies with plots. See, kids, this one has a plot. Bonus material includes a non-sex version of the movie. Adult movie trailers, behind-the-scenes featurette, movie photographs, and more. All this is only $27.95. I have no idea if our coupon code works with it. We can try to find out.
It should.
But Adam and Eve does not seem to want to work with the touchpad. So you'll just have to try it out and let us know if it works. Coupon code is not KNOT. It might get you up to 50% off. I don't know, because this touchpad sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and I just wanted to read about the Iron Man porn parody.
Iron Dome.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. How do you dismiss a window? Oh, there it goes. You shoot it into the air.
You send it into space.
Yeah. Like, fuck off, window. Whee!
So a wild Shiva has appeared right yes. At the end of the segment. I'm like, I don't know if she's going to show up. Like,
yep.
Poof. The moment we sat back down, knocked on the window.
Oh, yep.
Well.
Somebody let the cat in.
Oh, my.
Meow.
Meow.
Sit on the patio, meow at the door.
Meow. Meow.
Did you take a moment to, like, mark your territory on the cacti?
No.
And then when I opened the door, she just stood there and stared at me a little bit. I was like, what?
In? Out? I don't know.
So, yeah, Shiva's here. Hi, Shiva.
Well, you're a chat cat. You have one of each.
We've discussed DashCon at some length. Do you have anything to add?
Bop it.
Yes.
What not to do for a convention.
Hey, you know, the thing is, all we need to do is, like, get one of those little tiny kiddie pools, put some balls in it, and just, like, keep it in the corner as a warning. And at the end of the con, you just stab the pool, and it deflates, and then you patch it for next year. So the longer the tradition goes,
the more patches
the thing has, and the more decrepit it looks.
That was actually the saddest part about DashCon. At one point, the ball pit deflated.
Yep. Their one source of fun was taken from them.
Fun in air quotes.
Yes.
So, you read that one, right?
Yeah.
You want me to read this
one? So, you can read this one. I'll let... Eva read the last one.
Oh, God.
To read.
This one's a fucking novel, too. Okay. Work experience. How not to do it.
Oh, dear. No good can come of this.
This could go so many places. Okay. Dear Notcast, I think it was episode 254, you discussed work experience amongst homeschooling, which seemed strangely relevant to goings on at work at the time. I, for my sins, am an electrical design engineer living and working in dear old Blighty. I've worked for worse, then again I've worked for better, and promotion prospects are zero. I won't say what it is I design or the company name, just in case. I wouldn't be surprised if one of my boss's kids turned out to be a closet furry. Sudden thought, never yiff the boss's kids, even if they are adults. Not long ago, the company employed a new member of staff to test our products and their subcomponents. I work from AdamandEve.com, and I had a lot of fun testing out the... Oh, sorry.
Zzz. Ooh, okay. That's a good product.
Recruitment is performed by my boss, who is a nice bloke to work for, a highly skilled engineer, and an appalling judge of character. More than once, he has given jobs to people who, on paper, should be fine, but ask him to change a light bulb and things start going wrong, but I didn't expect this. I was given the honor of training newbie. I called up the test instructions on my computer screen and we set to work. All seemed to be going well. Newbie took photos of the things they needed to remember, made notes, and asked sensible questions. My confidence was knocked when they picked up my computer monitor and held it a hair's breadth from their nose in order to reread part of the test instructions. I questioned this, was assured that with first day nerves, glasses had been forgotten. I have no right to say that I'm above making such mistakes, so I let the matter drop and we continue with the training. Eventually, we reached a part of the test where we have to make sure that the product's lights are the right color, pointing in the right direction, and that it looks like a new product should. This is the bit that wouldn't stop the product doing its job, but it is the bit where we sell ourselves. If we want repeat orders, this bit has to be right. Newbie inspected the product and pronounced it to be okay. I inspected said product and found that one of the green backlights, the ones that light up the text around the display, was red. This produces a nice mud-colored illumination effect and will not earn repeat orders, so pointed the problem out to the newbie. Instead of the normal response of, my mistake, or, oh, we have to check those too, the reply was, I can't tell the difference, I'm red-green colorblind. This could pose a problem for this particular position. In a company where the choices of illumination color are red and green, this is a problem, especially as the appearance of said colors for indication lights are controlled by very strict specifications, and the product will be inspected after commissioning by someone from a recognized approval body. I made it clear to Newby that he should inform Boss Person of their condition on the grounds that the news would be better received in person rather than when the company find that it has dispatched lots of weirdly illuminated products that give false indications. The response to this was, maybe later. Ooh, wrong answer, man. The way it was said told me this really wasn't going to happen, ever. I then felt that I had to tell my boss. The alternative was to see what happened and risk being dropped in a proverbial when it emerged that I knew about Newbie's colorblindness after things had gone horribly wrong. If I've just qualified it as a douche, so be it.
No.
Needless to say, there was a long and stunned silence as my boss realized his slight whoops moment in employing someone who was going to have, at best, great difficulty in doing their job. I think I will forever remain shocked that he didn't ask about visual impairment during the recruitment process. In my experience with electronics, it's perfectly normal to be asked to prove I can properly. I have even been sent for one of those eye tests with the splotchy colored numbers. Nevertheless, we discussed methods by which Newbie could be accommodated, but in the weeks that followed, two things emerged. One, in order to test all the indication lights on any given product, someone would basically have to repeat the test process. It may be a shortfall of the products and test procedures, but in a department consisting of me and my boss, there is a higher chance of the chewing gum stuck to the bottom of my shoe turning out to be priceless work of art than having the time to redesign them. Two, Newbie just wasn't much good. There were big mistakes like putting something that wasn't lubricant in a gearbox. At least that one was admitted quickly.
Well, you put glue.
Oh, dear. That's the opposite of good. It's probably obvious that Newbie doesn't work for us anymore, and I know they got a really, really nice reference signed by important people. Anyone would think that the company was scared of being sued for unfair dismissal, but that's the world in which we live. I hope for them it didn't look like we were trying to get shot of them. Too good a reference can do that, or so I'm told.
Huh.
I have to say, I think the company would have accepted his colorblindness or at least made a decent effort to accommodate his needs if his performance had been better in other areas. I really thought Newbie was going to sue for unfair dismissal at one point, even though there was too much evidence stacked against them. If it had gone to wherever it goes, I hope never to find out, Newbie would probably have lost it, but it still would have cost the company a lot of time, probably money, and caused a lot of stress for everyone else who at the end of the day wants to get the job done, but mostly wants to get paid. Now, I hate to assign morals to stories, but it's unavoidable, so here goes. If anyone happens to be recruiting for their own business, no matter how small the company, ask the basic questions. The employment rules still apply to your organization. If you have a medical condition that is, like this, going to affect your ability to do a job, tell someone when applying for the job. Remember, when you go for an interview, it's as much about you finding out whether you want to work for the company as it is about them finding out if they want to employ you. When I have to train someone and I can work with the person who has the right attitude and is willing to cope with the company's faults, trust me, there are enough of them. That part's a little weird. Anyway, the person who thinks they know it all is a liability, but that's another story. Moralizing over, I suspect I've failed to avoid the wall of text, but if one person manages to avoid this scenario, I'll consider it a victory. It's really common sense after all. We still do that on this planet, don't we? It's neither. It's pretty rare. Common sense. Or what's the other expression? Common knowledge. Common knowledge is neither, I yeah. think.
You mean common sense?
It's neither common
nor sense.
Yeah.
Regards, Funyad Esrohilub. P.S. There is a logical reason for the name being backwards, and if I ever finish the DIY, I'll upload it to F.A.
Okay. So, yeah, if you've got colorblindness, red-green, it's probably not a good idea to go to a company that deals in red-green backlit LEDs.
Yeah.
That sure is a thing. I mean, I know there are people that are going to be like, I really need a fucking job. But if you're...
You can't, yeah, you know...
Be like, I'm going to test these headphones. Oh, I'm like 90% deaf.
Yeah.
Oh.
That ain't going to... No. No.
No. No. No, Mr. Griffin. More limo pledge.
You're going out. Okay. So another email?
Okay. So,
well, how many more do we want to do? Do you want to have Shiva read this
one? Yeah, she can read this one, and then there's a tiny Tumblr question that just is, use more lube.
Okay, all right.
So if you ask a Tumblr question this week, that's your answer, use more lube.
Yeah, that's actually just sort of any time you're like, I have a toy and I want to put it in my butt or anywhere, use more lube.
You already brought it up.
Yeah, the After Dark panel.
Okay. On the topic of After Dark panels, to answer your question, yes, there were quite a few After Dark panels on both DropCon and BronyCon last year. They were 18 plus to enter and were at set times when children are usually asleep. The people at the SwaglyCon Empire panel were upset that I didn't properly drunk Larson to come to visit the family, visit the panel. I can't fucking talk. I've had some wine. Where we were generally fucking about and drawing on a projector. I don't know what his reaction to Twilight with dick wings would have been, but I don't want that to be my impression on him. He probably would have added more dick wings, to be honest.
Also, what do you think, Savern would have?
Would Larson have added more dick wings?
No.
Really?
Probably not. I don't know.
I thought he was a bro.
Also, fun fact, I learned that at the M.A. Larson panel that he had an idea for an episode that didn't make it past the pitch. It involved Flam becoming mayor of Philadelphia and banning the sales of cider. The Apple family then became bootleggers. You can see why this didn't make it. Anyways, if you guys want to know any more about things and stuff, let me know. Zyrian, however you
say. That would have been a neat episode. And then they could have written like a cool song about Prohibition and running a speakeasy.
Yeah, maybe Pinky could, you know, help out the family business and they turn it into Lackadaisy for an episode or two.
Yeah, basically. Well, it's Lackadaisy with ponies.
I like Lackadaisy. It's one of my favorite comics.
It's really cute.
Yep.
Let's see.
So, yeah, that's surprising. I mean, I just... Okay. There was 18-plus panels at Fiesta Equestria, too, and I'm just like, how do you get away with this? You're not supposed to.
Like that was actually a point on your agreement to get the guests?
No, they're
was that well, you wouldn't run 18-plus panels?
That's just one of Hasbro's stipulations.
That's what I meant. Like, it was actually in writing somewhere.
Yeah, that's just... And, you know, for an audience, we're obviously going to abide by that rule. I mean, our ideal is that if Bob's 3-year-old daughter can't attend the panel, we're not going to run it.
Mm-hmm. I like that guideline. If you can't bring my daughter, then it doesn't run.
Yeah. It's harsh, but we are a 100% family-friendly, all-ages event, and we are committed to that.
You're harsh in my mellow, man.
And people are like, yeah, but you're such a, you know...
Fur fag.
You're just a fur fag. You do this. I'm like, well, there's a big difference between this and, you know, an event that's all ages. Anyways.
Yeah.
Read the last Tumblr thing there, Shiva.
Hey, Notcast. I have recently come into possession of a small prostate toy. However, I seem to be rather tight back there. Any tips on self-application of butt love? I've read two things and I fucked them both up.
That's all right. There was a massive wall of text earlier that I had to, like, pause and go a couple times. So, take your time. Use lots of lube.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you think you've added enough lube, add more.
Start with one finger. Add a second finger. Stretch it out a little bit.
Well, that would be...
Pretty soon you'll be taking that large flared chance with no trouble at all.
So, yeah, basically, it really depends on which, like, what toy you got. And if you got a little starter plug, all right, that's cool. But remember, your eyes are bigger than your anus. And sometimes the idea of owning that really cool, massive-looking dong, well, good luck. It's going to be a conversation piece because it's never getting inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it!
Dong.
Like, because we're wrapping up, I took my phone off of silent, and I was going to pop it in my pocket. So, of course, the fucking moment I do that, Tyrion sends me a text.
Of course. I mean, it's a talent thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. One thing you should do is, if you have a non-silicone butt plug, get some silicone lube.
We have a lube episode for how what to use with what.
Yeah, it's titled How to Lube Your Dragon. Go to our website, nautcast.com. Mm-hmm. It's down in the 160s, I think.
Yeah, hard to believe it's already been so long.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah, make sure that you're not using the wrong lube with your toys or else you'll melt them.
Yeah, but for butt stuff, silicone lube is superior. Get a PVC toy, not a silicone toy for that. And it'll work out a lot better for you.
Butt stuff.
Well, the reason the water-based lubes don't work too well for butt stuff is that the mucous membranes absorb water.
And it breaks down.
And it dries out. So, and you don't want a toy essentially drying out in your butt.
Have you seen today's whip shirt?
No.
It's a breakdown of the old Action Comics with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to show you that all day. I saw it this morning. It's like, okay.
That's a neat design. It's 10 picking up the TARDIS and smashing it into a Dalek.
With like the number one. It's a spin on the number one Action Comics with Superman.
Where Superman's like lifting up a building or some shit. A car. Okay.
And smashing things.
I have it in my head, but it's like, it's a famous image.
So yeah, glad you could make it for the last like 20 minutes or so.
I was off winning things.
Hey, you were off winning things. You got some prizes.
Yes.
So that's cool.
The prizes prezizzle.
Yeah. And we'll hopefully get the site put back together by the time this episode comes up. It's not that it takes a lot of work. It's just this week has been really busy. I had family in town on Monday helping friend move. Plus stuff like that. So my time has been kind of taken up.
I'm not doing website shtick.
Unfortunately, but I have the files and I've gotten every episode downloaded, so we won't have to worry about that. The RSS should still be the same. So hopefully by the time this comes out, I'll be able to push the previous two episodes to our existing RSS feed and get them up back on iTunes and whatnot.
Okay. I think depending on what feed program you're using, you could probably change the date as well so that it goes up where it looks like it's posted on the date it was actually released.
Yeah. So, the brief, not really drama, but the deal with the website should be coming to a close. My computer decided to shit itself, and it's been an interesting little bit of time to fix it.
That's okay. Yeah. Last night, Sarah's computer shot itself, too. He decided to defrag, and he blue screened in the middle of it. That did not work at all.
Oh,
so yeah. Instead of defragging, it just fragged.
And we ended up formatting.
Oh.
Yeah, it destroyed something where it stopped recognizing all the backports on his PC except his video output, LAN card.
So did you try to recover any of the data off it before you nuked it?
Oh, yeah. He had it on a separate partition. It was already backed up. We just needed to format, reinstall.
Oh, my God. Reinstalling is... You never know how much bullshit you have to reinstall until you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck.
Well, that also scrapped an entire work. He was going to do a lot of schoolwork last night, and that wiped that off the bat.
Yeah, something like that. And then you lose all that time, and you're like, fuck, now I'm behind because of something out of my control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
pain in the ass.
You were asking why there's a PowerMac G5 in here. It's like, when my computer was in the shop for 3 weeks off and on, Panther pulled out his old 2005 PowerMac.
Yeah.
He tried to record on that, but it sounded too much of a jet engine to do anything with it.
Yeah. I'm going to start. I killed my PC months ago. We haven't bothered. It's time to start buying parts so I don't have to use my laptop that was supposed to be the backup computer for everything. And I've been using it nonstop for almost 2 years now because my PC was sick for a long time.
Oh, my.
Then I just gave up.
Well, your laptop is powerful enough to actually do shit on, so that's good.
It's a beast, but we didn't want it. It was the go places, do things, go to cons, run,
Not designed for you to use all the time.
We never intended to use it all the time. It was supposed to last many years.
Mm-hmm.
So gradual use, not day in, day out, 8 hours a day, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's sort of the situation. I actually did post to F.A.,
I saw that. Yeah.
And just kind of like, hey, this is the situation.
We broke a thing.
We broke a thing.
Yeah.
And that's just how shit goes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's about it, guys. Not that long of an episode this week, only an hour 21. I'm going to parse it down. It'll probably be about an hour 20.
You know, the last 20 minutes was the best part, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Sparkling personality of our resident chicat.
Okay.
So on that note,
full of sparkling wine.
Yes.
No, just one. I didn't have a lot of wine. I had one glass, whereas Sarah, my lovely other third, is quite tipsy, and that's why he's home.
Mm-hmm.
But
vomiting into his computer, and then you'll have to like reinstall everything again.
You have to buy everything. He shorts it out with puke.
At least he doesn't. Oh no! See.
Normally it's cats that puke on things, not huskies.
Three. Well, it's Thursday, so he's a cat.
Okay, Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. There was 2-3 drunk times ago. He fell into the bathtub and couldn't get out. Wallowing like a turtle on his back.
No. So, yeah. On that note,
good night.
And big balls.